Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm your host, Cindy Croft, and I'm here with one of our inclusion consultants, Priscilla Weigel. Welcome again, Priscilla.
Thanks, Cindy.
We are excited to be continuing a discussion on children with some challenging behaviors around aggression in early childhood programs. And today we are going to talk some more about some of maybe the types of aggression that we see in young children, and then some strategies for practitioners who might be wondering, well, what will I do with that little guy or little girl who might be displaying that kind of aggression?
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited to have you here today.
Great. Good to be here.
Now, last time we talked about children who might be displaying aggression really just sort of as a tool for attention and part of their personality or just something they kind of do, and it doesn't necessarily have a pattern to it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Kind of that learned behavior of negative responses, looking for that negative attention.
So another kind of aggression that you see when you go out and you work with programs as an inclusion consultant, what other type of aggressive behaviors might you see, or perhaps the underlying reason for that kind of aggression?
I don't know if we even talked about it, and I don't think we mentioned this in our last podcast, but one thing to remember when you look at challenging behavior, any type of challenging behavior, there's always a reason for it. There's always the child is trying to tell us something with that behavior, whether it means, as we talked about last time, this is just what I do. I've noticed that grown-ups come to me when I do something that's not okay, so that's my pattern. But, you know, in this segment, we're going to really touch on something that seems very common, power struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Children feel powerless on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at adults, we have so many options to deal with things that make us uncomfortable, and we can just kind of choose our mode of coping. Whereas a child, the majority of their day is directed by adults, and when we look at what they really get to be in charge of, there's probably maybe three things: whether or not they eat,
mm-hmm.
whether or not they go to the bathroom when they finally get that,
right.
And whether or not they can go to sleep, because mm-hmm. we can't, you know, make that happen. It's their body being worn out and tired, and they'll fall asleep. The rest of their day is pretty much covered. And often when I ask providers that questions, they'll give answers like, well, they can choose who they play with. Really? Not really, because that peer makes that final decision. Or they can choose what they play with. Well, we oftentimes put out choices for them. So when you look at their day, what are they going to eat? Oh, we've already planned the food. You know, they're just looking for times to be in charge. That's what it is. And so those power struggles are saying to us, I'm feeling like I don't have any control. And this is the way I know how to exert control, because I've gotcha. I'm on the floor flailing, kicking and screaming. What are you going to do?
Right. And developmentally, as children are growing, it's appropriate for them to be learning about making choices
mm-hmm.
and exerting control, right?
Definitely.
Some of this, if we can help providers and early childhood educators also look in a developmental context at, well, where is this child at in their emotional development
mm-hmm.
in terms of self-efficacy and the whole notion of that child beginning to learn about themselves and, you know, where they fit in their little society that's
mm-hmm.
in the child care center. And so part of us wants them to be able to exert some control.
Definitely, yeah.
But again, it becomes problematic at times when it's a choice between the adult and the child at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this often. It is difficult.
All the time. Right. And when you kind of pool providers and you say, what is an important skill that you want children to have, independence comes out consistently. But independence exerted in a power struggle isn't the way to get that independence. And so what you were saying, offering choices, we do that all the time in early childhood. Offer the child a choice, and they're within the parameters of realistic choices. You're not going to say, do you want to play with these blocks or do you want to go to McDonald's? You're going to say, you can use the blocks or the cars. Which do you choose? And then you're giving the child the option, and you're giving them that sense of control. When we say 16 choices, it's too overwhelming for them. Developmentally, their mind is saying, but I want them all. Mm-hmm. And a power struggle can be the temper tantrum on the floor. It can be, here are your choices for snack. We're going to have carrots and dip or, you know, Triscuits. Which do you want? And the child will say, I want cookies. The choices are carrots and dip or Triscuits, but I want cookies. And they're going to try to engage you into the point of giving them the cookies. Because at some point in their life, someone gave in when they dug in their heels and said no. And so encouraging parents, providers, anyone that spends time with young children to be consistent and say, this is your choice. And re-saying those choices, not getting sucked in. Because really, the quickest way to diffuse a power struggle is to pull yourself out of it. When you realize that you are being pulled down to the level of a three-year-old, right, because you're, it's like a tug of war. Really, that's what it is. And it's silly. Mm-hmm. So to step out as the adult and to calmly, and you might have to count, you might have to count yourself and say, you know, a provider I was working with last week counts backwards from 10, and that just helps her know that she can take a break, calm herself down, and then say to the child calmly, I gave you the choices. Either you can make the choice or I can. I will count to three. One, two, three. Most of the time, and, you know, I've been doing this for 26 years. Most of the time, most children will say, I'm going to make that choice. And they make that choice because they don't want you to make it for them. But there are those children who have those intense personalities that just want to kind of push the envelope. They're going to wait till that number three comes around, and they're going to want to see, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow through with what you said, or are you going to give in? And then you need to, when you say three, you're going to make the choice. And that's, you know, that's, it's just that consistent pattern, consistent follow through is so important with power struggles, and also pulling yourself out of that.
Oh, those are really good tips, Priscilla, and I think they'll be very useful to people listening. One thing, as you were talking, it made me think about the person who's doing the counting and helping the child see actually her self-regulation mm-hmm. skills. And then, so she's modeling that again also for the child. So reinforcing for the child even more impulse control mm-hmm. by him or her seeing the provider do it. That's excellent. And that's something we're going to talk about in our next podcast, is helping children gain impulse control. So that's really wonderful information. But I like those tips that you gave. They're very useful. So the provider helps the child make the choice, or possibly gets to the three and has to make the choice for the child, but is consistent mm-hmm. with that. Those are very excellent points. Anything else you would add to that?
Well, and one thing that I think is really important as well is when you get to that number three and you and the child still hasn't made the choice and you're making the choice for them, always verbalizing, you know what, you're showing me that you need help making a choice right now. So that still you're saying to that child, this was your choice. So you're still reminding them that they had the opportunity to influence the situation, that I'm not just being a dictator and telling you this is what you have to do. You are showing me by your actions or by your inaction, you want me to do this. And so that it's another way to remind that child verbally, mm-hmm. you were given an opportunity to be in charge here. Mm-hmm. And so when you're saying that to a child on a repeated basis throughout the day, they're not going to have to fight for the control right. because you're giving them opportunities, helping them choose a snack, helping them pick the story when you're for group time, helping them pick the songs they want to sing. All those things are opportunities that we give children to say, hey, be a part of this. Help me plan this day so that they don't have to fight for control.
Excellent. And those words are respectful as well. Mm-hmm. And again, it surely goes into the child's mind as learned then behavior that, oh, okay, I'm learning now about choice and mm-hmm. about next time maybe I'll do it differently, or but it gets put in the child's mind as learning. So I think those are important, again, emotional skills that are being mm-hmm. reinforced just by the provider using language, which I think is important for all of us to be reminded of.
Right.
That we
right.
need to tell children what we're doing so mm-hmm. they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very good. Is there anything you'd want to add as we wrap up this podcast?
I think it's all, well, just kind of in a nutshell, all the aggressive behavior, it has to do with those strong emotions that young children don't know how to talk about. They don't have names for these emotions a lot of times. They don't know how to deal with them. And it's just, it's mistaken behavior that they're confused and they don't know the right road to take. And it's our job, we're their guides. It's not our job to be the, you know, as I said earlier, that kind of authoritarian guide, leader, dictator. It's our job to be their guide, to take them by the hand and say, let's make a better choice here, and I'm going to help you find out what that better choice is. Because a lot of times they don't know. And to just expect them to make that choice on their own when they've already made consistently, you know, six poor choices, it's saying to me as a provider, this child needs some help here. And so it's my job to make sure that I give them what they need.
That's a great way to contextualize it, and also a great way for us to end this podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. And again, and a nice segue to our follow-up after this one, which will be again on aggression and impulse control. Thank you again,
great.
Priscilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for now. See you next time.